Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery. Code Wondery.
There's a lot to say when buying a new home or car, but only one thing to say that can help you protect them. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. And just like that, a State Farm agent will be there to help you choose the coverage you need, no matter where you are in life. When you need coverage options, your State Farm agent is there to help, on the phone or in person. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Welcome to the Nerds Podcast number 609. I will be doing stand-ups this weekend, December 11th and 13th, 2014, at Cobb's Comedy Club in San Francisco. If you go to cobbscomedyclub.com, you can get tickets to that. And then the Fun Comfortable Tour starts mid-January in a wide variety of cities. So far, 16 in all, but there will be more added. Second shows have been added in Portland, Seattle, Boston. And there's a bunch more cities that second shows will be added there, too. So go to funcomfortabletour.com to get tickets and info on that. This young lad who's on the podcast today, I think he's going to make something of himself. This is Will Wheaton's return to the Nerdist Podcast. I don't know if this is the third or fourth time he's been on. But anyway, all the times. I mean, honestly, the first time Will was ever on the podcast when we were at Smodcastle a few years ago, definitely is that goes in the books as one of my top 10 favorite podcasts of all time. And every time Will's on, it's, I don't know, it's just like he could be one of us on the podcast. He could just be part of the crew on every episode. But I adore this man. We have a nerdy little bromance because we've been friends since we were teenagers. Some people think it's adorable. Other people might be annoyed at how much we adore each other. But to them, I say, fuck thyself, because I am not ashamed for how much I love my good friend Will Wheaton, who has a great series on the Geek & Sundry YouTube channel called Tabletop, which is a bunch of people just get together and play a different tabletop game. I've done it. A lot of people that you know and enjoy have done it. So go watch or follow at Will W on Twitter, or it's Will Wheaton on Instagram now. And here's the Nerdist Podcast number 609. And this one, we get into some good geek nerd debates, which I think, so you can blow up the comment sections on the Nerdist website with how you side. After the Nerdist Podcast, number 609. With the wonderful Will Wheaton.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
We're done.
We did it. It was great.
Wow, that was
best one yet. We won a potty.
You brought in Star Trek Next Gen?
I know. I get those are gifts for me to Matt.
He gets sent some, and he doesn't need two of everything. So he was like, you know who'd appreciate this? Matt Myra. He likes High Definition and Star Trek The Next Generation.
It occurred to me, I was recording my own podcast today.
Yes.
Which I haven't released and probably won't. Because I like to spend an hour making a thing and then go, oh, this is crap.
You know, that's really the best part of the creative process.
It really is, yeah.
Is shitting on yourself.
Yeah, it is. And I actually said into my microphone, Matt, I know a lot of people who like Star Trek, and no one I know likes Star Trek more than Matt Myra.
Oh, my God, that's the nicest thing anyone's ever said.
Super Star Trek fan number one.
So I took some screen caps the other day. I was going to make a thing on Imgur. Yeah. And it goes like this.
He's going to show.
Sick beard, bro. Thanks, you'll never have one of these. Oh, really? And then a shot of you now.
I don't know why.
That's my favorite thing you haven't made.
Why haven't you just like emailed this over to someone at Nerdist?
Don't you have
said,
a graphics department that can do that for you?
Yeah, but it's fun if I get to, if I do it myself.
Yeah, but Chris, I love you that. Just don't have time. I want it to exist.
I know I don't. I'll make it.
I've seen you show it to people twice on your phone, and I'm like, every time, why does this exist?
Well, because I like IRL interneting. I'm going to go around to every person online and show them.
Wouldn't this be a meme, guys? Check this out. Welcome to Chris Hardwick's. Wouldn't this be a meme, guys?
And you're going to walk up to somebody, you're going to pull out your phone, and the guy's going to go, can you just fuck TLDR?
Yeah.
Just give me the fucking TLDR.
Are you thinking GIF beard. Or are you just thinking a series of images?
Series of vertically stacked images.
Gotcha,
That you scroll down.
I could do
a diptych and do a four panel Instagram one.
Yeah, no, I think all
no,
gotta
I think
be
I think
down,
I think I think formatting it for Tumblr in the scroll down way is
that's the way to go.
Or I could do the GIF and put it on Instagram.
You could.
But it works
Please
better
it,
on Imager.
If you do make it a GIF, you make it...
GIF!
I know you're going to say that, Will.
Oh, are we going to have this fight?
But you're still wrong, Will.
Listen, just because two of you outnumber me doesn't make you right.
Well, but the guy who created the...
I don't give a shit.
GIF said, yeah, he's not a linguist.
Yeah.
He's not a linguist.
And that's what I said. I believe I said it to you,
Will.
I said,
in the first 30 seconds of this podcast, we've just created a fucking, like, Braveheart war.
Yes, no, I understand. People. I understand. I'll tell you what. I'm going to go tell my good friend, Geoffrey the Giraffe, that he's pronouncing the G in his name
What is
wrong.
The storage capacity on your phone?
Oh, lots.
Mm-hmm. And what is it?
Oh, it's...
how many gigabytes
is
many,
it? Many hundreds of thousands of megabytes.
So it's not megabytes.
No. Okay. I'd say it's probably like 0.64 terabytes.
Okay, good. Well played.
Oh, God. You fucking nerds.
This one.
I wish I had an IRL meme.
Hold on right now.
Right here. Look. Like I get, you just have to. Sometimes you have to take the lexicon's way of saying it and appropriate it to being fact.
Oh, that's the whitest thing you've ever said.
I know, but I just feel like if the people have voted, which we have.
In this room.
In this general election.
No, you should have... more of your supporters should have come out to vote.
Just let you know that we stay at home during the midterms.
Yeah. We're really pushing the GIF initiative. I was cold calling people. Hello, ma'am. How do you feel about moving images on the internet?
I just want to say that you're the governor of wrong.
Oh.
But yeah, what I don't like is people that make GIFs and they break it up. They don't need to break it up. You know, when you see like a down, like you
now,
see a,
I'm a
you
nerd.
See a GIF,
Will identifies
down.
As a geek.
Stop trying to fucking pigeonhole me. Shit, that's the right way to
I
say that geek. Stop trying to pigeonhole me.
I love a good pigeon a blanket. So good. So good.
Oh, there's no one in the world that this is as funny to as the four of us.
This is a peek inside a box you wish you hadn't looked in. Oh, so that's what's in there.
This is a good. I'm really glad I didn't.
I don't think I've seen the. Is that an EKG?
Yeah, this is Anne's heartbeat.
Oh, you fucking adorable asshole!
I know.
I know.
Will's got an EKG tattoo on his arm.
What if it wasn't because he loves his wife so much? He was just a big fan of the Don Johnson song Heartbeat.
Wow. That's a deep pull. Wow, what a great pull that is.
I think Don Johnson would be like, what I do now?
I did now. What now? What's that?
I don't remember.
Kids don't remember Heartbeat?
I remember that it existed, but fortunately, I don't remember anything about it.
I don't know why I remember it, but
I love Don Johnson.
It's really good. Anybody who cares and wants to know the story, I wrote a blog about it called Welcome to My Life Tattoo, and then I have a little picture of Hervé Villechaize, and I'm like, no, not this tattoo. Different tattoo. And then, he came to my garage sale when I was a little boy because he lived in Shadow Hills and I lived in Sunland.
Are you serious?
Yeah. He was just there for a very short time. I remember having a garage sale once when I was really young, and someone like haggling over 50 cents.
Oh, yeah. They're the worst. Garage sales are the fucking worst.
In the
to throw one.
Uh-huh.
To like put one on is to throw a garage sale. To put on a garage sale is the worst because people show up like right when it starts and they're super rude.
Yeah.
And you're just...
Or you're like, okay, please don't come before 7 a.m. because I'm a human being and I need until 7 a.m. to get started. 6 o'clock, someone's on the lawn.
Yep.
Like picking through the stuff before I've even pulled it out.
This is dumb. Your stuff is dumb. Your life is stupid.
Yeah.
I don't want to purchase any of your things.
Yeah. Well, when we moved, Dory wanted to have a yard sale. I was like, this is not something.
Why would you want
to
sell your yard?
Yeah.
Yeah,
nailed it.
Enjoy a burrito.
Great.
All right. That was good.
I can go have dinner now.
Good work, everybody.
We really did it.
Yeah, all right.
I just don't like the idea of a yard sale. I don't want my stuff. I don't want my wares out there.
Right.
What were you selling?
Like, it would have been like a bunch of bullshit I threw out.
Computer stuff, video games.
Some guitars.
How many guitars did you have?
Oh, so many, Chris. I had 26 guitars.
How's that?
The
last time we hung out together, you were driving down to San Diego to get a guitar.
Your voice
How did it work
rang
out?
In my head.
You mean San Diego?
San Diego.
As I hit the traffic on the 5 coming back.
Right, when I was like, you should take the train.
All I heard was Will Wheaton in my head going, you're going to take the train? You should take the train. You taking the train? You should take the train. You should really take the train.
You should have to train, and, train.
Because the 5.
I'll tell you the way to travel to San Diego.
Oh,
on the train?
Goes.
No,
private jet.
Really?
Yeah, I did a corporate
You're taking
gig
private
in
jets now?
I took a corporate gig in San Diego and just like went to Van Nuys Airport and just 20 minutes in San Diego. Got out of the gig at 9:30, was in my bed by 11 o'clock.
Wow.
It was spectacular.
In a corporate jet. Mm-hmm. Is it true that you get a hand job in the corporate jet?
Well, just the air is so rare and superior that it actually just forces the cum out of your balls.
Was that
pardon
what it
my
does?
French.
Yeah. that was English.
Is it English?
Yeah.
I thought that was French.
No, French is le cum.
Oh, okay. Le cum and le balls.
Le balls.
Le cum, le cum.
No, tattoo. Not now.
Le cum.
No. That was a problem with tattoo, and that's why they had to put him on an island, is he would just burst into spontaneous orgasm at any time.
Everywhere. Yeah.
He just could not contain it.
Mr. Bond, le cum.
And so they basically retrained him, and every time he says plane, he's actually coming.
He was going to be Space Ghost's sidekick on Space Ghost Coast to Coast.
What happened?
Really?
He killed himself.
Oh, wait, he killed himself? I thought he died from not killing himself.
No, he killed himself.
Did he really?
Yeah.
You really brought it down, Matt Myra.
I'm okay making fun of someone who killed themselves, but you guys apparently aren't.
No. Yeah, you just dragged us into the Myra Mire.
Oh, I love it in here.
This podcast is 4 minutes long.
This podcast is 1 minute long. Just enjoy your burrito, and
this
it's a
podcast
gift.
Is 9-6 words long. Song is just 6 words long. That was 7 words, though. And I always meant to ask Weird Al about that.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
It is 7, huh?
Yeah, this song is just 6 words long.
That is 7
Although,
words.
Although, I got my mind set on you, also 7 words.
Hmm. That's interesting. I wonder if you, like, drop, maybe...
I don't know, we're going to have to...
We've decided that is doesn't count.
Weird Al.
Dynamic scoring.
Now we need to put Weird Al before the Kryptonian Council, and then banish him to the Phantom Zone.
Oh, poor Weird Al.
Guilty. Hmm. Guilty. What say you, Gorel? General Zod. I like this game.
It's a fun game.
How many different words?
I'm just thinking of.
Don't you cross your arms in front of your LL Bean vest like that.
Guys, it's J. Crew.
Oh.
Oh, so it goes with anything J. Crew has made, even if it completely clashes.
So they're like geranimals for adults.
I was just, well, listen, I went with a vest because I thought it would keep me warm, and then... Because
Matt doesn't understand how vests work.
And I'm like, wow, this whole thing with your arms getting cold.
My tits feel great, my arms not so much.
The vest is the dumbest thing in the world.
It doesn't make a whole lot of sense when you really think about it, because your extremities
arms get cold,
get cold
the rest
first.
Of you.
Well, it's, but they're like shorts for your torso.
Ooh.
They're torso shorts.
Shorts.
Okay. if a vest had been marketed to me as torso shorts, I would have a closet full of them. How can you not
Old Navy,
own torso
Old Navy
shorts?
Performance torso shorts.
Right now, rush to your computers. We need to get torso shorts trending. The people need to be told.
Hashtag torso shorts. If you think it's a great idea, tweet at Nerdist and at Will W with hashtag torso shorts yes. Leave me out of it.
We for Thanksgiving, a handful of people came over. My mom, who lives in town, made dinner, and then she had two of her friends with her. And my friend Matt brought over, different Matt, brought over Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah.
And so...
You played with your mom?
I did. And so I was like...
Was your mom super dirty?
Well, here's what happened. Before the game, I was like, Mom, this game's kind of offensive if you don't want to. And she was like, well, you know, we'll stay. That's okay. It was shocking. So like something really, like some really, really horrible card would get laid down.
Yeah.
And
it was your mom?
And my mom would be like, I put down Bigger Blacker Dick! But it was so fucking funny, like watching how joyful and it. What
does the podcast audience like? Do they know your mom? Like, I mean, do they know? Like, because the people who don't know, like, your mom is so sweet and so tiny, and,
yeah,
and just like effusive and joyful.
Not the plane, tiny, and, but she's tiny, and she's also you know, somewhat conservative, and it's this Italian Catholic mom, and. But watching her like unleash the Fuhrer, not the Fuhrer.
Unleash. Who put down the Fuhrer?
I did.
Oh no! Oh, this is a Nazi Ouija board. How do we not know? but it's but watching her unleash the fury of Cards Against Humanity, which I mean. There was a whole other layer of genius that I realized about that game, which is, of course, when you're with your friends, it's funny. You're awesome. But what it does for people who aren't normally filthy is that it gives them 100% permission and to take no responsibility, but to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And it was so much fun playing.
I've never played.
That's awesome.
You haven't?
No.
Game's great.
Yeah, it's really fun. I saw on the internet today on the stupid fucking Black Friday, which I hate.
Yeah.
Like, I hate, like, the most American thing in the world is inventing a shopping holiday. Cards Against Humanity said, like, to increase your savings on Cards Against Humanity on Black Friday, we're completely removing it from the store. It's not for sale, so you can't spend money on it. But what we will do is if you send us, like, $6 or $12, we will send you a literal box of bullshit. There is actual bullshit in this box. This is what you are getting, a cardboard box with a piece of shit from a bull in it. That's what you're getting. So of course I ordered one.
Did you get it?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm going to give it to my sister for Christmas.
Are you going to give it to Amy?
What?
How are you going to
I'm just going to give it to her. I'm like,
just
here,
some
I
bullshit
you,
I found
I got
for
you. Some holiday bullshit.
Yes.
But there are these people online who are all super angry that are like, I didn't know I was going to get bullshit. It says on the fucking page, you're getting bullshit.
How dare you be literal? Yeah. I thought you were being colloquial.
I thought you meant like, you know, an awesome thing.
By the way, Cards Against Humanity should market Bigger Blacker Friday. I don't know why they don't do that.
I don't know how the game works.
It's basically like, it's.
Okay, so this is what happens is that a card gets put down. And it'll say something
check
like...
Check out Tabletop.
And it says... It is on Tabletop. It's on this year. We did an episode called Tabletop
it's
After Dark.
Like my... You know, my... There's usually a fill-in-the-blank game.
Okay.
My mutant power is blank. And
oh,
then,
so you'll get a card that says
you
what
have a,
blank
you have a,
needs to be.
You have... Yeah, the black card has the phrase or the question.
Okay.
And the fill-in-the-blank. And then everyone has a handful of cards. And then you put down whichever one you think will... I essentially be the funniest or apply the most to the person who's judging, who's the person who put the card down. So everyone puts their cards face down and
they
then
get mixed up.
Mixed up, and then the person who put the black card down reads, my mutant power is
a bigger blacker dick.
Gorilla taints.
My mutant power is a sad hand job. My mutant power is the Virginia Tech Massacre. Like those are all cards in the
game. But it really gets dark. And the darker it gets, the funnier it is.
The whole point of that game is to just be awful and terrible. And
that's right up my alley, guys.
Yeah, I mean it's. I haven't really.
Cards Against Humanity, or just Matt Myra's Soul.
Oh, I love
another
this.
Name for another name for the game.
Yeah. Listen, you were both as joyful as I were when we were in Disney and talking to the nice lady.
That was so much fun.
That was the best. And I think that we really elevated the experience of that day to an area that I don't think anyone expected it could possibly happen.
So just to be a spoiled asshole and alienate everyone, because I do a lot of stuff for Disney panels and stuff. I just this year I was like, hey, my birthday's in November. Can I get one of those snazzy tour guides? Because you get a tour guide at Disney, and they basically you hop all the lines, and you're with a group of people, and it's basically just an enhanced Disney experience.
But there's also, I mean. Excuse me. There's also very much like for somebody like you, you're on TV almost every day.
This is true.
And
why'd you say it like that, Chris? What are you talking about? Oh, Matt, please don't address me unless I address you first.
And if you tried to go to Disneyland without somebody to kind of like keep an eye out, you probably wouldn't be able to have a good time.
It would be
you would probably just get mobbed because I've been with you when someone's like, "Holy shit, that's Chris Hardwick."
But that never bothers me. It just
No, I know it doesn't bother you, but it can stop you.
That which
because
is what
then another person is like, "Holy shit, that's Chris Hardwick."
Which is
and
what
I'm like, "Why is there a line and why am I taking all these pictures of Chris with all these people?"
By the way, there's just as many "Oh fuck, it's Will Wheaton's." And that was our whole experience going to Disneyland when we were like 17 years old.
Ah, yes, the foot's on the other hand now.
Wait, the foot, the hand, the torso shorts.
Yes, the torso shorts are on the other vest now.
The torso shorts are on the other extremity. But it is sort of helpful and a fun way to kind of expedite the process. And let's be honest, it's just fun to skip lines. And I know that makes you, I feel like that, I mean, yes, I makes me feel like a dick, but not enough of a dick that I wouldn't do it if it were the opportunity were offered to me. And I go anyway without that, but it was my birthday, and so we took a group of people, and
it was
amazing. You guys and my friend April Richardson, who I love, and Allie Ward, mm-hmm. who's hilarious, and Ann Wheaton, who's amazing, and my assistant Michelle and my friend Sean, who cuts my hair. And we had such an amazing time.
It was,
and we had a really great tour guide too.
She was awesome.
Wait, check this out, podcast audience. There was a dude who's like, he's probably 600 years old, and
we had started working in Disneyland in, I believe he said,
63, right?
Yeah, 1963, and he still works at Disneyland.
Yeah, he literally had the key to Disneyland. Like, normally when you go to Disneyland, you go through a turnstile. We walked up to a gate that's all closed up and locked, right? Like in Scooby-Doo, you know?
Right.
Like the big old padlock, yeah. Do not enter. And this guy walks up and he's like, hold on. And he pulls out like just a regular keychain. I kind of wanted it to be like a big skeleton key, you know? But the base of the key would be shaped like a Mickey Mouse head.
Right.
And he's like, I got this. Turn, unlock, opens up the gate. And Matt and I were like, that guy's got the key to Disney. And then he would like disappear.
He'd disappear behind you and show up in front of you.
Yeah, and then we would turn around and like, boom, there he is. And we're all pretty sure that he was a CIA bag man at some point.
It was amazing.
In
time. Like he was like a holographic
projection.
Like
maybe he got to go work at Disneyland because he spent some time on a grassy knoll. I'm not saying which one.
He was amazing. And I almost kind of feel like he'd be like, as long as I'm an employee here, I can't die. Like it was one of those.
Because we went up and descended from Sarah Winchester.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, this room's confusing. It doesn't go anywhere.
No, you're just in line for Roger Rabbit.
Oh.
Because we went up. We went up. We decided to go on It's a Small World, which because who hadn't been there? My friend April.
She'd never been to Disneyland.
She's also one of the funniest people I know, and I was like, we have to take her on Small World just to see what that's like, because it was a holiday.
Yeah.
And so we started to go up this one way that, you know, it was like, it's the exit or whatever, and the person who was manning the entrance was like, you can't go that way, you can't go that way. And this guy was like, don't listen to them. Like, there was nothing. And then the person at the front just disappeared.
It was gone.
No, that was like.
And you know what happened? A new doll showed up and it's a small world.
Oh, no.
Every person this guy murders
gets turned into a doll. If you look close at some of them, they're weeping while they sing.
So here's the bullshit thing that happened is that we go in right at dusk and we get out right when it's about to be dark.
And you can package this holiday bullshit and send it to your sister.
This is really funny.
So Myra and I are taking video. Like, we're trying to take video of the moment that all of the lights come on It's a Small World, which is probably the most spectacular thing about Small World.
During the regular year, it's real pretty. It lights up. It's really neat. But during the holidays, they cover it with Christmas lights.
Like Christmas with the cranks over there.
So we're standing there holding our phones, taking, I mean, it was like several minutes of video trying to capture this moment. And Matt puts his phone in front of my phone and goes, "Hey, wouldn't it be funny if I totally sniped this from you?" And right as he does that, the lights come on, and I miss it, and I catch a tiny glimpse of his phone catching the fucking lights. And then just like this cackle.
And I was behind you over your shoulder watching that happen. And as those phones came together, I was like, I know what happens. I've seen this in too many wacky comedies.
It could not have been planned any better. You were Cousin Eddie.
Oh, man, you were.
We have fun. We're terrific.
It was fun, though. That was such a great day, and our guide was super awesome. And
she endured. She was really, really cool and was, like, you know, sort of, like, giving us backstage, behind-the-scenes stuff.
I didn't know there was a pet cemetery behind Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
Because you're not allowed to go up there. That was amazing.
I love that, too. And that guy who worked at the Haunted Mansion came over to, like, tell us that we couldn't be
there. But he came up with this,
like,
excuse me.
And then we just,
do you need help?
We just part, well, and then like, you see our tour guide with the plaid vest. He's like, okay. Yeah.
And then he couldn't uncontrollably shot himself.
Yeah, it was
and
weird.
And they buried him in the pet cemetery.
And a new ghost showed up in the graveyard.
That took a ride home with you at the end.
That's right.
Now,
but we were trying to get around, like, there was a parade going to happen, and we were back, like, by Toontown, which, if you're not familiar with Disneyland, is sort of, like, in the very far back. It's, like, as far away from everything else in Disneyland as things can be. And we were on our way to, I think we were going to the Haunted Mansion, right? We're going to that part of the park. And
it's basically the Reseda of Disneyland.
Yeah, boy. Yeah, it really is. It's the Northridge.
It's the Northridge of Disneyland.
Yeah, it's the border of Northridge and North Hills.
Yeah, because it's just for some local references. Toontown's out at where the 405 meets the 118.
It's way out there. Yeah. So we're going to get on the train and ride the train around to get past like all this traffic. And the train is full because everybody else has that idea. It's a good idea. But this one particular train is pulling this super fancy train car. It's like a Pullman car or whatever. And all day long, Matt and I had been asking our guide, "Hey, could you like just quickly reconstruct and reopen the Skyway to Tomorrowland for us?
Can you mind?
Like, could you bring the People Mover back?
I wanted to see America sing."
Yeah. I mean, so we had just been doing stupid stuff like that all day. So then one of us said, "Hey, could you make it happen for us to ride in that car?" And we'd just been joking about this all day, and she was in on it. It was very funny. She was like, "Actually, I might be able to do that, but this used to be open to Club 33 people, and they like kind of trashed it and kind of ruined it."
Club 33 is like the weird Masonic cult that you get to be in if you have a lot of money and has a lot of influence.
There's like a long waiting list, and
it's
a secret handshake.
It's a lot of
money.
It's
very expensive, and I've eaten in there, not very good. And so we're like, can we get in there? We promise we won't. Mess
Will's
it
the
up.
One who said it wasn't very good, Walt. So don't let him into Club 33. I'm sure the food is amazing. You should let me in there. Someone who will really appreciate it.
Haven't you had enough special Disney treatment?
No,
you entitled monster.
I want more.
Okay, Veruca.
I want more Disney treatment. I'm a princess. Wait, though, what was it? What was the thing that you were doing, like, you were doing fake trolling for all of the different lands? Like,
we were pretending that she had a Twitter account, and when the people went on a ride, she would just Twitter in like these really terrible ways, but it was all more like jokes. So like, Matterhorn, more like it doesn't Matterhorn.
You were being hipster teens.
Oh yeah, we were just killing ourselves.
Oh,
and
we
the thing
dying.
is Allie is such a great audience.
Yeah.
That Allie's like that person in the front row who doesn't stop laughing, so it doesn't matter how bad your joke is. You're just like, no, I'm killing. This is great.
Haunted Mansion. Haunted Maryland Mansion's more like it.
Yeah. And then we started the whole thing about starting our own Disney gang.
Because I didn't know this.
The social clubs?
Listen. So, listen. Don't call them that. They're gangs.
We got to tell the listeners what's going
on at
Disneyland.
There are...
There are ruthless, fun-loving gangs.
Main Street Elite.
Main Street Elite.
Sons of Anakin.
Sons of Anakin.
I'm not. This is not a hashtag game. Those are real.
These are real, and they were. Fucking biker vests.
They wear biker vests. Now look this up, guys.
By the way, and no, I don't want to say, I'm not going to say who it is in case she doesn't want me to say, but there was a Walking Dead cast member, and I was telling her about how I had been to Disneyland the day before, and she was like, well, you know, I'm one of the original members of Main Street Elite. I'm like, what?
What? Really?
Yeah.
Street Elite. So yeah, and we were trying to
It was Lauren Cohen,
I'm not
right?
saying who it was.
We were trying to figure out the dirtiest name that would be sort of Disney related.
But so they have all these like biker kind of names, and apparently there's like, but this is what because I didn't even know about this until 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
that they have. There's been like Disney gang fights.
Jangs.
Jangs. Disney Jang fights.
Disney Jang fidgets.
Fidgets, yeah. And when you said it, when Myra said it, I was like, you're making it up. And he's like, nope. And he pulls out his phone and shows me pictures.
Yeah.
So then.
The gang, because by the way, the gangs have vests and all the vests. They're basically like biker vests.
They're like biker gangs, yeah.
Yeah.
And then we started trying to find them because I felt like it was going to be like seeing a unicorn. And
it was like a hidden Mickey.
I got unreasonably excited when I actually saw one. Because the idea, like, the thing that's sort of ridiculous to me, and I'm sure I'm going to get hated on. This is going to be weird. This has never happened before. People who don't know me or follow me on Twitter are going to be angry and hate on me about a thing that I said.
Yeah.
I guess it's about time. That should finally happen for the very first time.
It should be good for you to understand that. I mean, long as you've been online, it's bad. It's nice. It's unfortunate that you have to deal with it this long on the internet.
People always being nice to me and forever and
never
ever.
Never saying anything. Yeah, like, everything you say is great, and that you're not weird. Dumb for any reason. They're right. Not trying to correct you.
Yeah.
And they loved all the characters that you've played on and so forth.
Everyone, I've never seen someone misspell your.
Nope.
Ever. Not even once.
Not one time.
But the idea that you would take like this happy, delightful, joyful, childlike, wonderful escape to this magical world and turn it into a fucking bunch of gangs that are like rejects from the Warriors. It's just like juggalos look at these people and are like, you guys are lame.
It's kind of insane.
Now, I would like to say, I think the gangs are a fine idea.
You are the worst panderer in the world.
Oh, you're so right when you say that.
Okay, so we see one, and I'm super fucking excited. And then later we saw another. We saw a pair together.
Yeah. You're going to get the shit kicked out of you on Main Street one of these days. You're going to go to that bathroom that's right between Tomorrowland and the fucking Main Street.
Yeah,
there's going to be
that's the Sons of Anakin's bathroom.
No, listen, I've got protection from...
the train pullers?
From the
Duck Warriors, come out and play.
Duck Warriors.
That's the best I could come up with.
Star Warriors. So we were trying to come up with what would be the dirtiest name for a Disney gang, but that kind of sounds like, you know, like it's like it could legitimately work. Like it wouldn't be...
Right.
So my suggestion was Bear Country, but Matt won. Matt's was even better.
It's the train pullers.
The train pullers.
And everyone's a train puller. And you got a vest that has the Disney train on it. It says train pullers on your denim vest.
And it's a gang that you get. Of course, you get jumped.
Gang of people.
You get jumped into the gang.
You get pulled into the gang.
Yeah.
What about Sploosh Mountain?
That's a little dirty. That's too dirty.
The point was that it couldn't be dirty.
The point is that it's like just...
It had to like fly below the radar.
Yep. Chris, would you like to be jumped into the train pullers?
No.
Oh, well.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
There's enough of us here to put you in it.
Well...
We can do it right now.
I'll do it if I get to be the caboose.
Okay.
Oh, no, that's not how it works.
You had to think about that for a second.
Yeah, I was like...
No. The caboose has a coupler on the front. But that was an insanely fun day. You know, Ann and I were up like way past our bedtimes, and we were driving home. We were so tired. We were like, this was a great day.
It was
It was really fun. And even if we hadn't been like doing all the crazy Disneyland bullshit we did, just like the group of us hanging out together was insanely fun.
Yeah, it was a good group. It was a good group of funny humans.
Yeah.
And just sort of running around the park,
causing non-gang related anarchy.
It was
a lot great. We destroyed you twice in the Cars Ride.
Oh, that's right. Did. We won twice in the Cars Ride.
Radiator
and
Springs.
I beat you twice in the Buzz Lightyear shooty game, but then I think you crushed me in the Toy Story game.
Toy Story Midway Mania. That is the fucking best.
Yeah, it's more fun than it has a right to be.
Yeah.
It's and apparently there are game hacks.
Yeah, we learned that there are ways that you can.
I wouldn't
say that they're hacks. It's that just if you have knowledge, like you can trigger conditions that will let you score mass crazy amounts of points.
Yeah, hacks.
No, that's not a hack.
It is a hack.
No, because you're not altering the game's structure.
I feel like you are hacking the game because you know that there's a secret pattern. That will ultimately unlock.
No. Hacking would be like I change the trigger on my gun so that it shoots more times.
Yeah.
And all you're doing in Toy Story is learning like it's like learning a pattern in Pac-Man. That's not hacking the game.
It is a little bit.
Billy Mitchell didn't kill hack
screen.
The game.
You're hacking
kill
the
screen coming up in
game.
Toy Story, guys. There's a kill screen coming up on Toy Story.
Kill screen.
Kill screen's coming up on Toy Story.
That's kill screen.
Why do you know that?
I fucking love that movie so much. But. It's like the guy that won all that money on Press Your Luck and got to keep the money because he just memorized the pattern of the whammies.
And then figured out how it works. Yeah.
And he studied a VHS tape and he didn't hack anything.
Do you remember when we lived in Westwood how much we loved to talk about whammies in real life?
Yeah.
When people would do dumb stuff and then we would like act like
burr, burr, burr. Yeah,
you got cock-blocked by a freshman.
You know what I imagine was an amazing time in our young lives in Westwood. Other people probably imagine as the two most annoying people hanging around in Westwood.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Basically, making inside jokes. I guess not really much has changed.
Right. Making inside jokes like 40 decibels higher than everyone else around.
Yes.
Them.
Yes. Yes. Because
we were really just preparing ourselves for our adult lives.
Yeah, which, you know, most people outgrow that stuff.
No, we figured out a way to make it a career.
We really did.
I know.
How did that happen? Oh, my God. What do you, by the way, it was really fun doing Larry King Now, hosted by Wil Wheaton.
That was insanely fun.
I think you should do that.
I had so much fun interviewing you, and I could not stop thinking about how fun it would be to interview just like people who I don't already know.
Right.
I think it could be a great Geek and Sundry Nerdist series.
You should
Now that we're sister cousins.
We should do it. We were sister cousins. You should do it for sure. You should absolutely do it because you're really good at it and you have a natural curiosity about things and people and you're a good talker. So
I think you should call it the show should be called Wheaton. And the every episode should be Wheat on Hardwick, Wheat and Hardwick.
Oh, that's so great. I was going to say Meat and Wheaton.
Oh, that works too.
Yeah,
but I think Wheat on Hardwick is great.
Like I just just keep the title, get a nice logo for you, coffee mug.
I'm on board with this. Vests. I could get some torso shorts.
You can get some torso shorts with the logo on it.
Why do you think? Are you still bothered at all if people are shitty to you? Does it ever bother you anymore?
No. You know what I figured out is I think a big part of it was just getting real comfortable with who I am and feeling like there was a time in my life where I was super insecure and I felt like I had stuff to prove. So when a random person was shitty, that part of my brain, the part of my brain where the depression lives, mm-hmm. was like, oh, they know. They know for real. Everyone who says you're good is they don't. You're fooling them. But this guy, this juggalo, pound it 420. He really knows.
Right.
Right.
I think it's guggalo.
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 There came a point not too long ago, honestly, like in the last 3 or 4 years, where I just ran out of fucks to give. And it just became, I was just thought like, you know, the people who are like shitty about that, they're not talking to me the way a human talks to me. They're yelling at an idea. And the people doing that don't get that I'm like, I'm a dad and a husband and a friend and a son and a human being and a person. Yeah. I mean, it's just like, you know, I'm an idea. And this is, I talked about this on Twitter a few nights ago. It was really interesting. So one of my favorite shows ever is Firefly. I think it's amazing. I think it's a nearly perfect series. I just love it. And I love the camaraderie among those characters. I love the storytelling. I love the photography. I love Kaylee. I love everything about that show. Unfortunately, Adam Baldwin's a dick. Like, he is an epic cock monster.
Really?
He is such a dick. He's a bully.
Twitter war.
I had to block him on Twitter because he was constantly riling people up and sending them to yell at me about stuff. And he was constantly trying to pick fights with me. And when I called him out on it, and then I saw him at a convention and I was like, if you've got a problem with me, I would really like to just talk it out so that this can stop because it's childish and stupid. And he was like, no, man, I'm just getting you attention, and attention's good, and people are paying attention to you. And these people who follow me are idiots. They do whatever I tell them to do. And like, you should just, like, don't care, man. Attention's great. And I was like, you know, I don't want this kind of attention.
You sure you're supposed to be my bodyguard?
Yeah. And I was like, you know, I would like it if you would stop. And he stopped for a while and then started up again, like, even worse. And then he, like, went after my wife. Yeah. And I was just like, you know, this is a great exercise for me in separating an actor from a character. Because I love Firefly, and I think Jane's a great character. I love that Jane has this wonderful, kind heart, and that when push comes to shove, Jane will act like he's going to take the money and betray his friends, but he would never really do that.
Jane would not do that.
No, he wouldn't. But Adam Baldwin would in a second. And like, I had to sort of learn, like, all right, so people who are, like, yelling at me about a thing or being shitty to me about a thing, they have this caricature of me in their head. And I think it's possible to disagree with people and not be shitty about it. Sure. And I think it's possible to have, like, diametrically opposed viewpoints and not be shitty about it. It's like,
I mean, actually just talk things out and try to gain understanding. And if you don't agree with someone, just go, well, I don't agree with that, but that's my opinion. Good day.
But there is a particular type of person who gets on the internet and just, like, kind of spends a lot of time, like, just being shitty to people. Well, like, just like yelling about stuff and they're all working from the same script because they're all organized around the same website, and it's really weird. Like, I just don't get what that adds to a life. And then I feel like, geez, man, my life is really good. I have an amazing life. I have a phenomenally privileged life. I'm lucky. I've worked very hard for
your wife, by the way, is the fucking coolest.
And is the best person in the world.
I might get her heartbeat on my arm. She's so awesome.
Let's all do it. Let's get Ann Heartbeat.
Let's go get the Ann Heartbeat tattoos. Tijuana Spring Break.
Woo! Another Ann Heartbeat tattoo, my friend.
but you want the Ana Corazon? But that's a big thing, right? Like, she's a big part of my life, and it's amazing. I have wonderful children. Anne and I went through a lot of adversity with her ex-husband being a shit, and just, like, I love my life where it is. And when someone's, like, really fucking shitty at me like that about some random thing, I'm like, man, if this is, like, how you choose to spend your day, if this is, like, that person's life is not very awesome. And I can be annoyed by them. I can block them. I can occasionally mock people and focus attention on someone who's really shitty and thinks there's not going to be any consequences for it. But I can still be empathetic and just think, like, you know, that sucks.
Yeah.
And it's not about me. It's about them. And this is a very long way of saying that there was a time where I just figured out this isn't about me. This is about that person who's being a jerk. And I just, you know, I can spend all my time going, someone's wrong on the internet, or I can just turn it off and walk away. It's not always easy. When you're the don't be a dick guy, people are constantly trying to catch you being a dick. You know what I mean? And like, and that happens. There's times where I'm just like, there's times where I'm a dick. Ann and I were walking into Staples Center a couple of nights ago to go to a hockey game. And there's these people that don't work for the Kings. They don't work for Staples Center. They're like, hey, come sign up for the timeshare things. Right. And the guy walks in front of me and stops me as I'm trying to get in. And I'm trying to go in, right? And security's just taken a thing away from me. I had this like little screwdriver on my keychain, and they were like really lame about like, that's a weapon and you have to take it away. And I was like annoyed by it. And on the way in, we had walked by like those like screaming judgmental religious people who were just really awful. And this guy stands in front of me, and I just fucking yelled at him. He was like, "Do you come and sign up?" And I just I was like, I was 5 inches from him, and I just yelled, "No, get out of my fucking way!"
Whoa! Right?
And then and Am was like, "You can't do that. Like, you really embarrassed me. That was shitty. And like, don't be that way." And I'm like, "I know. I did. I lost it for a second, you know. And I try real hard to be a good person, and I try really, really hard to be kind and empathetic and all that. But I am also human, and every now and then I fuck up. And I felt so bad about it." Like, I halfway through the second period, I walked out to go, like, find the guy and apologize.
Did you find him?
No, he had left.
Oh.
But maybe he'll leave me alone for the rest of the season.
Don't go near that kid. He's a dick.
I went
but that's
to the,
a don't be a dick guy. I know. It doesn't make sense. Weird.
I went to the season seats guys, and I was like, this really sucks. And they were like, yeah, everybody complains about it, but they have a contract with the building, and we can't do anything about it.
Oh,
whoa.
Yeah, which is kind of a drag.
But on the upside, you got season seats.
I do. I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, every minor annoyance in my life is a first world problem.
Is the rabble disturbing you on the way to your hockey throne? Oh,
God, he made eye contact with me.
Oh, I'm sorry if your Stanley Cup champion Kings season tickets aren't keeping you away from this timeshare guy. Go Bruins!
How's Gretzky
are you going to the game on Tuesday?
Year?
They're coming to town on Tuesday. Are you going?
I didn't even know they were coming to town.
How's, wow, big Bruins fan over here.
How's Luke Robitaille playing these days?
So, okay, so you're joking because you know because he's been retired.
I'm totally kidding.
Okay, so check this out. At this game, there were two guys behind us who were so drunk that Ann and I made, I was like, I bet that they get 86 before the end of the first period. And Ann was like, yeah, I'll take that bet. I'm like, no, you have to bet against me. It's like no fun if we're on the same side. This guy spilled about half his beer down the back of my seat. And people all around us were complaining. This guy was so drunk. He was like, he was convinced that Gretzky was the captain of the team and that they needed to hurry up and get the puck to Gretzky.
Wow.
So the guy next to me, he and I started talking really loudly about how we couldn't believe that Barry Melrose was keeping Gretzky on the bench because the Blackhawks were killing us and they better hurry up and put him in. The guy behind us so out. They ended up taking him out, and we were like, "This guy, like, make sure he doesn't go get in a car and stuff." Like, these guys were like falling down drunk, but the guy was totally yelling about Gretzky. And at the end, I was like, "Man, I can't believe they 86 the guy before Gretzky skated a single shift."
So did they put Gretzky in?
They never did, and I think he really would have made a difference.
That's too bad.
He was excited. Yeah. It was his first game over from the Oilers.
Yeah. And I'm like, come on, you idiot. Gretzky plays for the Blues. What's wrong with you?
You moron. You don't know hockey. You don't know shit about hockey. Yeah, this may sound not believable, but it's the truth. I am largely uncomfortable now when people are like, so you're the voice of the nerds, or you're the king of it. I'm like,
they say the same
thing
to me. Please
don't say that.
I'm like, don't do that.
Please don't say that. I know it seems like I asked for that, but I didn't. I just wanted to make a career out of a bunch of shit that I liked, and I didn't ask for that. And please don't.
Every time somebody
comes
up to me and says that, I'm like, no, you need to go talk to Chris Hardwick. He's
no, don't do that. Well, it's funny because when people, I always get the nerd geek question.
Yeah.
And I say,
what do you say? What's your answer?
My answer is this. I know that they are different. I know that they are of different etymological origin.
Yeah.
And I know that they mean different things.
Yeah.
And I know that a geek was a circus freak and a nerd was a Susian thing.
Yeah.
But I always say, look, I think it's kind of regional at this point. And when I was growing up, nerd is what the word that we used in the region I was growing up in. And I said, ultimately, I think we're all saying the same thing. But if you ask one, they will always say the other is the weaker class.
Right. Is it like soda and pop?
It's like soda
and
pop.
Like that?
Yeah. But I do think, you know, some people say that
they think geeks are more pop culture obsessed and nerds are more are more tech savvy. And I've heard
totally
I've heard the reverse.
No, I completely disagree with
you,
that.
You identify as geek and I identify as nerd, but I always say, well, I think we're ultimately just saying the same thing.
I think they're completely interchangeable.
I think so.
I mean, I don't like I sometimes identify as a nerd and sometimes identify as a geek. But like what I have said is that being a nerd or being a geek, it's not about what you love, it's about the way you love it.
Yes. Yes.
So like you and I love like Mystery Science Theater.
Yes.
In a way that someone probably loves the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
And I...
But the Dallas Cowboys never had a lemur on a boat after they just blew up an island of dinosaurs.
And not only do I not like football, I actively dislike the Dallas Cowboys. So like that doesn't mean that like we're a weird kind of nerd and they're like a weird kind of nerd. We're nerds for different things, right? Like we love this stuff, we live it, we find other people who love it the way that we love it, and we talk about it, and there's people who are nerdy for reality TV, and there's people who are nerdy for science, there's people who are nerdy for like you know, modding things or 3D printing.
Now the Sith nerds would be very angry to hear that, because I think like they would feel that these words, these terms, first of all, are labels, and that these labels are being misappropriated.
Fuck those guys.
That's what they never said about the Empire. You know what? Just fuck those guys. And they just went on with their...
Yeah.
Wait a minute. We have a lot to do. No, I want to shoot you with my lightning hands.
No, fuck you.
No.
No, get out.
Oh.
Eat a dick.
All right, Darth, you drive.
Show me one Sith who talks normal.
Are you worried that it's that these definitions are becoming too diluted, watered down?
No.
Any of that?
No, I don't
I'm glad
care.
To hear you say that.
I don't care at all. I mean, like this style of questioning comes up a lot.
Of course, because I get it too, so I'm curious to hear what
and
you
it,
think.
And it comes up, it seems like the more mainstream and outlet I'm talking to, the farther away from understanding on the issue they are.
Yeah.
And I think that one, just because someone is like, oh, I'm a total nerd, man, I've seen like all the Batman movies,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't make what I'm nerdy for any less meaningful to me.
Right.
Right. And it doesn't, I fundamentally reject the notion of a fake geek girl or fake geek guy or whatever. I think it's just, I think it's bullshit.
Mm-hmm. It's another way to sort of create an elitist hierarchy.
And it's also a way of being like a gatekeeper for something.
Yes, because...
Can I be the keymaster?
No.
I was going to say yes, but he's the king of the nerds. So
shut up, I'm not!
I'm sorry, he completely...
The king of anything!
He totally outranks me. I'm really sorry.
No, I'm not. You fucking outrank me. What are you talking about?
I remember when you started Nerdist and we started Geek & Sundry, a couple of media outlets were like, oh, it's going to be a Nerdist Geek & Sundry war. And I called up Chris and I was like, I just want to be clear. It's like us against the world, right? Let's just be really clear on this. Like, it doesn't, right? We're this thing that they're trying to make.
And I was like, shut up, geek. And I hung up.
Happening. Oh, I know. And I was like, well, you're the king. I guess I got
to
do
what you
said.
No, I'm not at all. You are, because you host the Larry King show.
I was a king's thing.
God damn it. But I often, you know, this idea of acceptance, I think, is important because, you know, I think the dark way to go with it, you know, there's a crossroads, I think, that happens when you're young and you're into stuff that's fringy to other people and they don't really understand it and you sort of get ostracized and, you know, your friend group is basically all the fat off the steak that gets shoved into one bin, you know, like
right.
the social trimmings,
right? Yeah.
Just and
which
so you
all fall into chess club.
You can right. render that down for a nice sauce.
All right, thanks, Gordon Ramsay. Thanks, Jordan Ramsay. So I'm not gonna let this joke go.
No,
I'm gonna keep this go.
Let it Joe.
Go. Yeah, I'm gonna keep this going.
Go Joe. All right.
But
I love that Frozen song, "Let It Joe."
But I think there's a crossroads where
it's like that Jimi Hendrix song, "Hey Go."
The band, okay, Jimi Hendrix. he was great at guitar. Remember, I think the crossroads is, you know,
a great movie starring Ralph Macchio.
God damn it! God damn it! So
you just offended a lot of Rastafarians.
Jesus,
that's better. Okay.
The crossroads, I think, is
The dark side of it is you get super protective and super fine. Well, if that's your turf, this is my turf, and yeah. I don't want anyone on my turf. And I don't want anyone who is associated, who people might associate with my turf. So, like, for people who don't like us, they're like, no, those guys aren't real nerds. I don't want them. This is what it really means to be.
Yeah.
Like, no one can really say what, you know, like, your way is not the way. You can't really say. And fuck
well,
you.
Well, you could
do.
As the king because you wrote no, the Nerdist
I,
way.
Will. Now, yeah, Will. I'm getting very uncomfortable.
You're obviously in charge of who's the gatekeeper or the keyman.
No, yeah. I'm not.
That's you're basically Joser the Joserian.
of the Ghostbusters?
So I love those guys. So one of the things that I think is important that we have to keep in perspective is that, like, we're in our 40s. We've like
speak for yourself.
We're super comfortable in who we are. Like, we know.
Speak for yourself.
We've like we have lived in a world for a really, really long time and gotten real comfortable in it. I think that 20-year-old me would not feel as like sanguine about it as I feel now, because the way that I remember it, and it's a long time ago now, but the way that I remember it is that part of that like leveling experience through teens and early 20s is kind of like identifying yourself with a certain social group and a certain
sure.
and a certain bunch of interests and sort of like having rivals so that you can, right? Like, Holmes needs a Moriarty, right? Like, that's, you have to like kind of figure that stuff out. But I watched my kids.
Just don't let Moriarty be aware that he's on the Enterprise, because
he will fuck everything up. Jesus. Why does anybody go on the holodeck in the first place? That thing is so fucking dangerous. And it's full of cum.
poor guy has to mop the holodeck. It's probably Mott. Barber has to mop.
Yeah, boy. I tell you what, whoever had to use the holodeck after Wesley had a bad day.
Got a hose out. Ugh.
You know, actually, the entire holodeck was yellow. Just when cum got on it, it reacted black.
So that's why it was...
That's why it's a grid pattern. Yeah.
Good Lord, what happened in here?
Riker?
Yeah, it was Riker. Riker did it. Anyway.
Wesley?
No, hold on just a minute. I can't stand up yet. No, I'm just going to sit here. Nope, I can't get up yet.
Oh, I got a cramp.
It's weird. No, I'm fine.
Wesley, we're beaming you directly to sickbay.
Tokyo baseball.
Mom!
That's making it worse. So I.
What about that alien girl that took human form?
Oh, yeah, she was great. True story. I got to kiss her name was Jamie Hubbard, and I got to kiss her, and I didn't know that she was 24 and I was 14, and I bet that was really weird for her.
Wow.
I didn't know that until years later. I just figured that she was a teenager too. I didn't know. She was really super nice. Yeah.
Sexy story. But
the way that I remember it is that, like, we kind of had to have tribes and we had to have teams. And part of the thing that we went through being young and weird was that we kind of earned Rocky Horror and we kind of earned, like, Star Wars revivals back then. And we earned Mystery Science Theater.
Well, I think what you're saying
stuff.
Is because you had to go out of your way to find it.
Yeah.
It wasn't just readily available. These kids today.
Well, one of my favorite ever Nerdist podcasts is the Rob Zombie podcast from a really long time ago.
Really?
I love it. It's super. If you're a person who makes stuff, that is one of, like, listening to him talk about making stuff is so inspiring and validating. And one of the things he talked about was, like, you need to get out of your place. You know, like, you need to leave your town and go someplace and find other people and get together and do things with them. And counterintuitively, the internet makes it real easy for you to stay in your little town because you can find those people online. And different creative collaborations happen when you're with people in person and when you're with people, like, you know, on the internet or whatever. But I watched my kids as they were, you know, going through their teens and 20s, and they didn't really have that same sense of, like, this is my thing, that's the other person's thing, right? It was just like, I like this stuff, you know, those people like this thing that I don't like, I don't fucking care.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I saw with them, and they are, like, sort of my two portals into their generation. But I wonder if things have just maybe changed because people can interact with a really diverse group of people online all the time. And you don't have to, like, if you're going to identify with, like, loving nerdy things, if you don't have to really go through the crucible that we had to go through. And if the things that we love, like, it was a big deal when we got a superhero movie back in the early 80s, and now Marvel puts out a fucking fantastic one every single year. And, like, if it's become such a big part of, like, mainstream culture, if, like, it's just made it, it's more inclusive for everyone, regardless of how they identify as a nerd or a jock or a stoner or, like, you know, an academic overachiever or whatever, that it's just, like, kind of, like, part of the culture.
Don't you forget about me.
If that's true, like, if that's really the way that it has gone, if things have kind of come out sort of, like, blurred into this, like, multi-culture of, like, yeah, we all love stuff, and who fucking cares if you love a thing I don't love? I don't care. Like, if that's actually happened, I don't see how that's bad.
No, it's
and I
not
don't,
bad.
And I don't see how it threatens the things we love.
I just think that people lack the ability to... I think we're going through a period, in as much as I think we'd like to pat ourselves on the back, like, we're so... Like, the internet's made everyone so connected and open-minded. I find that people
I don't think it's made people open-minded at all.
No, the opposite.
I think it's very tribal. It's just made the size of your epistemic closure is slightly larger than
I feel like in the pre-internet era, if someone was like, I like this thing, you didn't like that thing, you might be like, oh, okay, well, I think that's dumb, but whatever. But now it's, you know, I will burn your fucking house. Like, it's just like an all
it's
caps.
Like, the internet is populated by Disney gangs.
But it is, you know, like, I think it'd be nice if people really tried to understand each other instead of trying to burn and salt the earth.
Yeah.
Like, to burn everything down and, you know, like, I will kill you forever a million times just to prove, you know, because in as much as I think the internet has created a local community, it's basically localized the planet.
Yeah.
It's also, because of the way that we interface with it in general, I find it to be very isolating. Yeah. Because you are connecting with people, and, you know, like, oh, there's, you know, a million other people who collect chess sets, who like Civil War chess sets, who collect that. I can connect with all these other people instead of, you know, having to figure out how to connect with those people through a weird piece of periodical literature when I was younger. But now, you know, you are interacting with them,
I think there's still a vetting process, though, for the people that I choose to let, like, close to me.
I mean,
like, you know, they need to know, like, I have a few friends, and if someone is friends with them, I know that's an awesome person who I'm going to really enjoy kind of being around. And when I was younger, that wasn't the case, because I think we tolerated dicks more than, you know, than we do as you know, older. And I think the same thing sort of happens online, where, like, there's, you know, people develop reputations on forums and sort of develop reputations on different, you know, across social media and that sort of thing. And you know, if there's, like, a Twitter account that a bunch of my friends are following for whatever reason, I'm like, maybe I'm missing something here. Maybe this is a person who's actually worth my time. And it doesn't, it's
the human algorithm.
It's still, you know, it's still, like, not, I don't think that it's a substitute for, like, getting together and being in person and doing
no,
stuff.
No, because I feel like you can still, and I wonder if other people find this to be true, that you can be interacting with people online all day long and at the end of the day still feel alone.
That's absolutely true. When I'm on location and I'm, you know, I can get on FaceTime or Skype, and I can talk to my wife and my kids, and I can see my dogs, and I can, like, log in to forums and talk to my friends and, you know, everybody. Even I was in Germany last year, and I was able to just I was in Germany.
Gracias.
And I was talking with Anne on Skype like we were in separate rooms of the house. But when I had to go to work or she had to go somewhere, I felt lonely and I missed her and I missed my house. And I mean, I think that you can be connected with people in the way that you're, like, you know, I don't know, making stupid meme jokes on Reddit or Imgur or whatever, or you're, like, you know, playing hashtag games on Twitter or something like that. But when you close the laptop, you're still alone in a dark room.
Yeah.
And I think that feeling kind of continues. And it's at least for me, I can only speak for myself. Maybe there's a person for whom this doesn't hold true, but for me, I feel like it's not a substitute for human contact. But the discussion we're having about, you know, the humanizing or dehumanizing effect is effectively the same conversation that people started having, like when the telegraph rolled out and when the telephone became a thing. And I saw this great picture of people looking at smartphones on a train, and nobody was looking at another person, and the caption was something like, you know, this technology is really dehumanizing us. And then immediately beneath it is a black and white photo of businessmen on a train in like 1940, and they're all reading newspapers.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's
smartphones just like a tiny newspaper.
I think that ultimately what is really important is just, you know, when it comes, all that comes back to like whatever the culture is that you love, I think instead of being a gatekeeper, it is a better choice and better for everyone concerned to be like an ambassador and be a guide and like be welcoming and bring people into whatever the culture is, because whatever the culture is that you love, somebody helped you get into it.
Yeah.
Like somebody sort of walked you around it and kind of like made it, gave you their level walkthrough, you know?
There's so many like weird frown ambassadors though that will literally, I think the most pathetic thing you can do is consume something that you hate so that you can shit on it and be mad at it.
Yeah,
it is the saddest, most like, I mean, I don't like things. I just avoid them.
Right.
I don't use it as a vessel to channel my rage. I'm like, oh, I'm sure going to watch this. I don't watch the Kardashians just so I can go on Kardashian boards and be like, this fucking show. It's like, I just don't.
Oh, yeah, but Kardashian-bashin is great.
Kardashian?
Kardashian.
Guys, this two-part episode of Star Trek is very, it features the Kardashians.
No, the Kardashians. No,
they
no.
kidnap Picard.
Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
What?
Yeah. Where they go meet Bruce Jenner.
Oh,
yes,
Jenner,
and of course Lando Calrissian.
in the epic mashup.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'll watch it.
I saw a really funny Tumblr today that it's mashups of famous people's faces, the top half and the bottom half, and they all have pun names. And the only one that I can remember right now is I can't remember. It's.
So that's not the only one you
it's
can remember.
It's not the only one. I can't remember any of them. It's an MC. Oh, M&MC Hammer. The top is M&M's face and the bottom is MC Hammer's face. But they're like all they're put together in a way that makes them sort of like it makes it look like it's one person.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. And then there was one that was the top face. The top of it is Bill Gates and the bottom is Buffalo Bill. And it's Buffalo Bill Gates. It's really funny. I can't.
What's the name of it?
Oh God, I can't remember what it's called. But it's just like shoot, I don't remember.
I'm trying to bring up something today that I loved. That I wanted to show you.
Oh, it is delightful. If you bring up what I think
you showed I was. Your Instagram is one of my favorite things because
what?
Like, well, yeah, because it's like you get to meet all of our heroes. And I just see these pictures of you with all these heroes and you look like I am a professional and I am good at my job. And I know that inside you're doing fucking cartwheels.
I'm shitting like, my pants.
Yeah.
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 That happens to me. I mean, just in terms of like being a spoiled nerd kid.
Nerd king, you mean?
No, kid. I said kid.
Nerd
God
king?
Damn it.
I'm pretty sure you said king.
No, I said
did
kid.
Did you hear that? Chris Hardwick keeps going on and on about
said,
how
I am the yellow king.
It was kid.
Yeah, he did.
And so...
That's Kinge.
Is having to compose myself.
Yeah.
Because so many times I'm lucky enough that I get to meet these people.
Did you interact at all with the story that I wrote about when I met Henry Rollins?
No.
So I was working on an audiobook at a studio up in Burbank, and It's the end of the day, and I'm walking out through the lobby, and there's a guy sitting at a little bar. It's not like an alcohol bar, but it's just like a bar. Yeah. Like it's a table built into the wall, and he's reading on an iPad, and he's looking down as I walk past him. I see he's got this Black Flag tattoo on the back of his neck, and it's really cool, and it's like it's old. Like this dude is old school Black Flag fan, and I fucking love Black Flag, and I walk by and I said, I love your Black Flag tattoo. I've been trying to talk myself into one. And he looks up at me and he goes, what? And I go, oh my God, you're Henry Rollins. And I felt all the blood just vanish from my body, right? Like I felt like I was simultaneously like sinking into the ground and like kind of floating out through my skin, which had suddenly ceased to contain my body. And I said to him, I'm really sorry. People do this to me sometimes and it makes me feel really awkward and weird and uncomfortable, but I'm going to do it to you and I'm sorry, but your work means so much to me. When I was in drama school, I read all of your books and I turned them into monologues and I made this emotional connection to the things you wrote in Get in the Van and See a Grown Man Cry and Now Watch Him Die. And I need to stop talking, but I can't. And I felt like I was there with you. And I'm sorry, but my name's Will. And I shook his hand and he goes, hi, I'm Henry. And I was like, I know. And I was like, and I just said, and your music means so much to me. And just, I can't believe that I get to meet you because I can draw a straight line between work you did and work I do now. And I couldn't believe it. I mean, it's like there's not a lot of people who are at this level of I lose my fucking mind when I met them. Not because, oh, I like your work, but like you were a massive influence on me and a huge part of like he was a huge part of why I became a writer because I wanted to write like him. And I just like went, you know, I basically just vomited.
Yeah,
you know, nerd spoo all over him, and I was like, I need to stop talking, and I'm gonna leave now. And he sat there like very patiently and kind of like listened to me, and I was like, Henry Rollins is gonna punch me in the face, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
right. And he was very nice and very patient, and I turned to leave, and the door won't open. So I basically walk into the door and I'm like, and I pull on the door and it won't open. And I push on the door and it won't open because I've completely forgotten that you have to push a button on the wall to let to release the door. So I'm standing there after I've been like, and I'm pulling the fucking
melting
door
at the doorway.
Yeah. And somebody back in the room's like, you got to push a button. I'm like, oh, that's right. This is really embarrassing. I just like could not get out of there fast enough.
Did you let him say anything?
No. No, I should've.
Sweet story.
But I couldn't, man. Like I couldn't. Like imagine if like 20-year-old us had gotten to meet Joel Hodgson or Bob Saget or who else was a huge, huge, huge influence on us back then?
Well,
like,
yeah, because just for younger people who don't know. We watched all the Young Comedian specials when we were kids.
Yeah.
And Saget's stand-up on that one Young Comedian special was so fucking...
It was flawless.
Super fast and super like...
And super dirty.
Super
and
dirty. And
you were the guy who got me to watch Saget. Yeah. You were like, we had known each other for about 3 months. And you were like, you ever seen Bob Saget? And I was like, that guy? And you were like, no, dude, you got to see this. And I think you had the videotape in your car.
Super fast, super funny, super dirty.
Yeah.
And so... Or emo... Emo yeah. Phillips or...
Who I did meet at
you met Emo.
I did, because he's married to somebody I was in a show with, and I can't remember who it was right now, and I'm embarrassed about that, but I was like, I can't even talk to you. I was like, you're amazing, and I thank you, and I couldn't even do it, you know? But it's the difference between, wow, I like your work, or I love that band, right? And this person created a thing that forever changed the course of my life, which is like a thing that, I mean, that's a thing that happens. I meet people who tell me that about Star Trek, or they tell me that about Just a Geek, or something that I said on one of my stupid podcasts, or some dumb blog post I read or whatever. And I'm like, I don't want to take credit for that. You know, like maybe I made you think about it. Like I made it possible for you to think about a thing in a way you hadn't thought of before, but like you did all the work, you know, like you did the thing.
You shouldn't deflect, by the way.
I know, but it's
you know
really...
why? Because if someone is, if Henry Rollins said to you like, oh yeah, no, that's not, because you want to make sure that if someone had a special experience like that, that you're not diminishing. I mean, they're basically, when someone says that to you, they're giving you a gift of like,
yeah, I know.
This it was a very important thing to me. And if you deflect it in a way where you're trying to not be like, oh no, I'm nobody, don't, you know,
yeah.
It basically can.
It invalidates.
It invalidates the experience that they have. I think it's good to be like, that's really sweet. I really appreciate that. Because, you know, you can do that in a non-cocky way and not be like, that's right. You know, you can be like, I really appreciate that.
I think it's important to go, you know, you're right. I am fucking amazing.
Yeah. And then just like take your pants off and jerk and off then, around all the way around the corner.
Get in the old helicopter.
Woo!
Just gherkin off.
Always gherkin off. I love those tiny little pickles, the gherkins.
Yeah,
the
yep.
But anyway, I've totally hijacked what you were going to show me on your phone. But it was that I wanted to call you like right after it happened because I was like, you'll get this.
Oh, I do get it a lot. I mean, in terms of meeting people, and I think I'm better composed. I mean, I've gotten good at, just because I've done it so much, I've gotten good at just sort of like mashing it down. Mm. And
you also have a job as a host. To like, you got to put them at ease and not be like, you can't be that. If I go to do an interview with someone and they're like, I'm a fanboy. And I'm like, oh no.
Still happens sometimes. I felt like, you know, Cleese was really great.
Yeah.
And we went to Martin Short's house and podcasted him. And that was,
I didn't know you were at his house.
Yeah.
And, oh
that,
my God.
And that was, that I felt myself like very gingerly tethered to, like it was, I could feel myself almost,
yeah,
you know, and I think I did a couple times, and he was very sweet. Matt wasn't there because his iCal didn't update properly.
I didn't find out that podcast happened until I checked his Instagram.
Yep. Man.
I was know, like, oh, should, ah, come
listen,
on.
I check Chris's Instagram every morning just to see if there's a thing that I missed.
Think,
yeah.
You know, on the one hand, I look at my Instagram feed and I kind of go like, oh, I'm a sycophantic piece of shit. But I think part
I don't
of,
get that out of it
I,
at all.
I think part of it is that I genuinely appreciate every minute of it. I still can't believe it.
You, as a matter of fact, privately, after we did the John Cleese podcast, we, you know, all dispersed as we do. We go to our Nerdist pods in separate parts of the country.
Of course, right. Yeah.
So you can't destroy the podcast.
Yeah, no, I understand. Yeah, you're not, you can't be on the same place. Yeah. You got to get away. Yeah, I understand.
We're like the Coke recipe.
Yeah, sure.
So, Chris, as he's done in the past, you know, it happens rarely, but there'll be a moment like Chris sent the picture of all of us with Cleese, but right before he did that, he goes, our lives are so fucking weird.
Yeah.
Like,
they
just
are.
To take a second and just go.
Yeah.
Take that in. Just think about what's happening.
It is. Like, it is really weird in a wonderful way. And it, you know, it is. I think that's why it's good to start to have success later and fuck up a lot when you're young, because otherwise you don't appreciate it.
Right.
And I remember all those times where I wished that I could, you know, like, oh my God, I would love to just meet that person, or I would love to be working on something, or I'd love to work with that guy or that lady or this person and this, or this thing, or be associated with this thing. And so, you know, that's why people are like, you're fake excited about everything. I'm like, no, I'm genuinely excited because I know what the alternative is.
I bump up against people saying that about you every now and then, and it comes from like, I'm like, okay, you clearly don't know Chris. Because Chris's fundamental settings are excited and really fucking excited. There's no that's amusing to me that sort of happens. But you got to, but you know, really know, but
I understand where it comes from. Like, I guess I probably wouldn't believe it either if I weren't me. Like, if I saw someone, I'd be like, oh, that guy's probably full of shit, because I don't know, it's most people's setting is not like super excited about stuff. And Matt will tell you, I get bummed out a lot about stupid shit and I chew his ear off about it.
Yeah, but he also can appreciate the craziness of like this gig that we have doing this podcast and meeting all these people and getting genuinely excited about a lot of shit.
More, I mean, it's crazy.
More shit than I get excited
about. It's crazy to me that in 1992, you know, we were in a shitty apartment in Westwood laughing our asses off at Ren and Stimpy and Mystery Science Theater. And we still get to do shit like that, but now it's kind of our jobs.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And it's incredible that we both, because, you know, there were periods where we didn't talk much, not for any bad reason. It's just like our lives pulled us apart.
Ways, yeah.
But it's still like there was this rubber bandy thing where it pulled us apart and then like sort of like we met back. And it's like, this was my journey. Holy shit.
Yeah.
We kind of had these slightly different paths, but here we are doing the same shit. Like that to me is amazing and I'm really proud of it. Like it's super cool. I mean, it's great when your friends all kind of like you kind of grow off and see what their mutant powers are.
Like, do you know how delightful it is to me that like Will, I consider you a friend of mine, and just the delight in Will sending Will Wheaton a text that is a GIF of himself on Star Trek The Next Generation from my phone.
Generation.
There's so much delight in that for me that I had preloaded.
Right.
It was the last GIF I had sent.
GIF.
And I was like...
And you sending that to me and me looking at it, and then I was like, holy shit, like my life is so fucking weird. I'm a thing I did is a thing people send each other on their phones.
Yes.
And my friend just sent it to me.
So I will say that I think it's I think that it's safe to say that we have really fucked the snake out of the cage.
please see. First Will Wheaton Nerdist podcast at Smod Castle.
Oh, wow.
I don't remember what episode that was, but it was
holy
back in there.
Shit.
It might be in like the 40s or something. I don't know when
it
was.
Yeah, there's only two digits in that podcast.
I feel
like
it's 52 for some reason. I feel like that's it.
No way to find out, I guess.
Ah, too bad.
By the way, you a lot of the earlier episodes of the podcast are no longer available on iTunes because iTunes will only log the last like 300 episodes.
Yeah.
But if people go to Nerdist.libsyn, LYBSYN.com/RSS.
For now.
Or just nerdist.libsyn.com.
Yeah.
You can get you can get all the episodes there and search
them. I'm relaunching Radio Free Burrito and
finally.
Well, I got really busy and I just didn't have time to do it. And now I really actually really want to do it. It's part of this like over the next 6 months, I'm doing this thing where I'm like I'm working on my stuff. I'm working on stuff for me instead of working on stuff for other people.
Yeah.
And part of that is just having a regular podcast again. And so I'm relaunching it. And I went and looked at it and I was like, holy shit. Like my ability to put stuff on the internet and like manage stuff has grown so much since I was doing this podcast. Like why isn't this on SoundCloud? Why isn't this on Libsyn? Well, this isn't even in like why, you know, like I got to get on it.
I mean,
ridiculous.
I remember having, you know, having lunches with you and just like sitting and trying to figure out like,
yeah,
how do we make a thing? Like, how do we manifest, you know, the rest of the business doesn't seem to want us through conventional means. How do we make our own, you know, like how do we make this shit we're going to do anyway into the thing that supports us?
I feel like a lot of the stuff that I've spent my whole career kind of like chasing success in TV and movies, I had this. I think I've talked to both of you guys about this like privately, but I had this sort of this moment of clarity where I was like, you know, Hollywood just isn't that into me, and that's okay. It's just not the on camera version of me. They're just not that into.
Yeah,
I've got a really successful voice career. Like I'm video games and audiobooks and animation, like tons of work all the time. The stuff that I do online is really successful. And I think rather than trying to like convince a bouncer to let me into a party that really doesn't want me to be there, I'm going to go to the party that I'm actually on the guest list for, you know, with hookers and blackjack. And I'm just going to work on stuff for myself. And
oh, I'm sorry, sir. You must be looking for the hookers and black gack party.
You mean the stuff from Nickelodeon? No, that's Jack.
This world is confusing.
Bravo! Oh, I love this world where G's have been turned upside down.
And J's, it's basically
J's
just
don't even know where, we don't know it. We don't know if they're coming, joined. But it's been this. But it's really really cool. And like I could be totally wrong, you know. But I feel like the creative world that we're in is and the creative world that people like Grace and Hannah are in and that Hank and John are in is like we're leaning into the future and the like the rest of the like entertainment complex is like got has to come where we are. And every time I have tried to, and this is colored by just the frustrations of working with Sci-Fi Channel, is like trying to lean back and drag these corporations in. I'm just trying to get them into fucking 1999, you know, that I'm actually really excited to sort of spend.
So you're trying to put a site counter on there?
Yeah, well, I'm like, you guys, you really need to be in a web ring. You really need to be in a web ring, and you need an embedded MIDI on your web page.
Every time someone
just lets me know,
and like, look, and also when your page isn't finished, you need this animated under construction guy to let people know that this isn't.
But when
the way
it is finished,
end.
What you need to have is like 20 pop-up windows.
Yeah, well, that's how they know that it's there. You know, and that's a great place to put extra information.
That's right.
Yeah.
You can do this on Netscape Navigator.
Yeah, which is it's
is
really
crazy
good.
That people just launch websites and throw an under construction thing up and just go. When, this is okay.
I did that. I put that on my blog.
No, it was
when
all
I was, when I, no,
it was
no, no. I did that like 2 years ago when I had moved my blog from TypePad to WordPress and I was like self-hosting my blog again. I was like, it's time, you know, it's time to do this and like take over this again. So I put up a stupid under construction and then I put up the Drudge siren for some reason. I don't remember why. I have the every year I have this idea and I never do it, but every year for April Fools, I want to make my website look like it's on GeoCities.
Oh, you should.
And do all that terrible design and put
probably
in
a lot
like
more work than it seems.
I know it really well because a lot of I know how to do that in strict HTML. I don't know how to do it with style sheets.
Yes.
And a lot of the tags that I know how to use to make things look that way have been depreciated, so they won't even render in a browser anymore. Like, I mean, I would have to say looks best in like Opera version 0.9 optimized for NCSA Mosaic.
Well, I think ultimately the takeaway for people is what we say a lot, which is, you know, don't chase as much as, you know, I think it's important to just sort of lean back, sit on your heels, don't be on your toes reaching. I always think of it like, you know, being in water and trying to grab at a school of fish.
Yeah.
You know, just sit still, figure out who you are, figure out what you like, be comfortable with that, and then, you know, see what comes out of you, and then fucking don't worry about, you know, I mean, it's good to take feedback into consideration. I mean, when you're making things, you should be forming a relationship with your audience, but, you know, have an acceptable amount of, you know, you can disregard the mega compliments and disregard the mega insults and sort of take your sampling.
You throw away the outliers.
And then take your sampling from the middle and sort of see like, okay, well, this is working and this is not working and, you know. But
another way to look at that is you're never as good as they say and you're never as bad as they say.
Right.
And I think a really important skill for makers is to figure out how to separate the useful feedback and criticism from the noise.
Yeah.
And that is not easy to do.
I think the less emotional feedback is.
Yeah.
I sometimes feel like maybe the more real that can be. I mean, obviously, if you get a ton of people yelling at you, you're obviously doing something that's creating an emotional reaction.
Yeah.
But if someone goes, your site fucking sucks, it's like, okay, well,
oh,
I don't know what to do with
it
that.
It does?
But if someone says, like, hey, listen, you know...
This is really hard to navigate.
This is very difficult to navigate, yeah. And it would be a lot easier if you constructed a system where it's like, okay, well, that was a very well thought out
yes, thank you
piece
for your bug
of constructive
report.
Criticism, and I should probably pay attention to that
yeah.
because this person is... I mean, it's the same as in any interpersonal... Like, in an interpersonal relationship, the points you're trying to make when you're yelling are... That's not what... That's you're not trying to really achieve a goal there. You're just trying to make someone feel bad.
Yeah.
Or you're just trying to be... You're just trying to force your opinion on them as opposed to, hey, we really need to talk because this isn't this
yeah.
have happened and I'm concerned because of this and do I need to do this and can you do this? Like, it's the reasonable criticism that I think
you should
listen
to. I think that's a difference too. Like, your end goal is different there, right? So, like, when you have that conversation, whether it's with a person in your life or a member of your audience or a client or whatever, you are working to identify and resolve a problem.
Right.
And that's a fundamental difference from I just want to yell about a thing.
Yeah. So don't be a dick.
Right.
Be nice to
even
people.
Even if, especially when you're the don't be a dick guy.
Also, we've learned that we're spoiled assholes.
Yeah.
And we're,
and you know what
we're
also
fake
is,
nerds.
And it's also really, this is very important. We're extraordinarily privileged. We live,
we're privileged.
We live life on John Scalzi's lowest difficulty setting. And
that's
very intelligent of you. And we have the celebrity cheat enabled. And I think it's very important to remember that and not get entitled and not take things for granted. And don't hoard stuff, you know? And every time I have an opportunity to like help a person the way people helped me, I always try to do that because like none of us got where we were without other people taking a chance on us.
Yeah.
And I think it's important and it's not just for us, but for other people listening to this, like I think it's very, very important to just be cognizant of whatever your privilege happens to be and recognize that not everybody maybe has it as easy as you know, we did. Our way was, you know, we had our own version of things being hard.
Well, and the part of the problem it can be that you get to a certain point in your teenage years and I feel like your ego just sort of freezes.
Yeah.
And it's like it's easy to lose sight because in your head you're still this teenage kid who's being excluded from everything
right.
because you like weird stuff. And so it's easy to get your feelings hurt and it's also easy to forget sometimes that you're privileged because you're still that kid who's not getting picked for things.
I spent my late 20s and early 30s like apologizing to people in my life for being shitty when I was a late teenager and early 20 something because I didn't know any better when I was that age, which I think is sort of like, I think that's kind of a class feature of that particular level.
Yeah.
I just think that's like, you can't remove that from your build. right. Like it's on the skill tree and you have to take it so that you can get to the good stuff later on.
Yep. But in as much as we talk about these amazing things that we get to do, we are very fortunate. But I also think we did work very hard. And
yeah.
But I also feel like that is achievable by anyone. I mean, you take it from two people who's, quite frankly, both of us had that point where it was like, our careers are dead.
Yeah.
And anyone in the business would have been like, dead is dead.
Yeah,
you dead guys is dead.
Yeah,
can you bury the pet cemetery? Sometimes dead is better.
Yeah,
you know? And so
could I be a punchline? No,
and so,
you can't.
You know,
that's true. We're both
to be able to are able to sort of resurrect these desiccated corpses of careers that we had. I feel like anyone can achieve anything they want to achieve.
Because except being King of the Nerds, because that's you.
That is not me.
I loved your
and
TBS
you need to
program.
Stop that.
King
I'm not affiliated with that in any way, and you know that. fucking torso shorts.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
I really did love it when you hosted Singled Out.
I loved you on Star Trek The Next Generation.
Well, if we're all being self-referential, then points, Will.
Ah, yes!
And enjoy your Radio Free Burrito.
I just wish I was still doing Jadget Prawn.
Isn't it Engoy Your Burrito?
It is Engoy
Your Burrito.
I'm sorry, it would be Jagget Prawn. Jagget.
Jagget.
You gagosh.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Once upon a beat. Remember those stories and fables that would capture your imagination and you couldn't wait to see how they would unfold? And now, when you read them as an adult, you think, some of these old tales could use a fresh spin. We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remix, and reimagine for the kids in your life today. Join me,
DJ Fuse,
and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, as we spin up new tales in the New Kids and Family Podcast, Once Upon a Beat. Yeah. Wondry and Tinkercast are bringing you a jam-packed, music-filled weekly party where hip-hop and fables meet. It's Once Upon a Beat. Follow Once Upon a Beat on the Wondry app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now by joining Wondry Plus in the Wondry app or Wondry Kids Plus in Apple Podcasts.
Once Upon a Beat.